And he's just, he's everything. Yeah, I remember working in, had a guy we had to remove, so I told Ryan, I said, now son, go down there and tell me he has to leave. Well, Dad, what did I tell him? I said, well, you tell Lieutenant Lawrence to get out of here. Okay, what else? Well, tell him I'm trained in jiu-jitsu, nunchucks, the throwing swords. You go tell him he's got to leave. Sounds pretty powerful, huh? Well, think about your God for a second. Talking to Moses. People are crying out for deliverance. He said, you go to Pharaoh. And you tell him, let my people go. Moses said, now, but who do I say? I mean, who does he told me to say this? And God said, well, I'm trained in nunchucks. I'm trained in, no. You know what your God said? I am that I am. I mean, think about it. This is your God. It's the one that you worship. How much more powerful? I mean, you talk about, wow. I mean, you understand if I was up here saying, who said that? Let him tell him to get out of here. Tom Starkey said it. That's arrogant, right? But God, I mean, how could God say anything else? I am that I am. See, I'm everything. I'm powerful. There's nothing beyond his control. You tell him, you better get out of here because I am, I am. Wow. I mean, it just you just think about that. At least to me, it really gets me going. Is this the God that you serve, that you worship, that you love? This is the God that woke up this morning. He didn't wake up. He never sleeps. But when you woke up this morning, this God was watching over you. Whatever you have coming your way, he's there. Think of that. Now, I don't think Moses, I mean, he probably think, okay, I'm going to go in front of these folks and talk to them. But I don't think he questioned God. Okay, God, I'm going to do this. Being obedient to God. What would happen if Moses wouldn't have been obedient to God? No, I'm not going down there and tell him I am that I am. Can you write a letter? Or can we do a FaceTime? Hey, Pharaoh, this is God. Let my people go. No. I am that I am. I mean, that is so powerful. So strength. But what Moses did, he didn't do it just for himself. He did it for you and I. He obeyed God, not just for himself, but for others. There were several million people wanting to be set free. And he had this heavy burden on his heart that you know, when God called him, that burning bush, he come to God. Yes. And you and I today, we are celebrating. We are still in that umbrella of what Moses did, being obedient to God, when he said, Pharaoh, let my people go. Because if you're born again, we're grafted in. Amen? Think of that. And today, as you see, it's set up a little bit different today. We had another baby shower yesterday. And the reason I leave it this way, I kind of like it this way. But to me, the most important thing is, and I love this thing back here. I figured that when Chuck got here today, he thought we were celebrating deer season or something with the animals and stuff up here on the wall. But the thing of it is, we have another generation coming behind us. Think of that, guys. Another generation coming behind us. So our lives are our own lives. Understand that was not. It's for the next generation. What can we do to secure this country, but more importantly, to secure the Word of God? Because they're going to need God more than we do. Amen? Think of that. Putting other people first. That's an amazing thing to do. But hey, if we're born again, we're dead. You know, I'm a dead man walking right now. I mean, my body is. I got a new spirit that'll live forever. So my time on earth here, should I put it all about myself? Or is it the next generation? How many of us are here today because the generation before us worshiped God, prayed for us? Wow. Yeah, we've been really blessed here in America. We have a lot of awesome things here. But we can't let those things cause us to sit down and relax. Well, I'll say give up. We can relax, guys. but not give up. Continue on what God called us. And then what we're going to do today momentarily is we're going to take a look at Passover. You think, well, Pastor, Resurrection Sunday was several weeks ago. And Thursday before Easter is always Passover, isn't it? Well, actually, Passover is this past week. Started on Tuesday. It runs on Tuesday. We don't have the same calendar that they had back then. They had their calendar. We have ours. Anyway, there's three things that God told us to do. One is the Feast of Passover. Celebrate this. Then the Feast of Pentecost. And then we have the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen? He said, I want you to lift this up. I want you to celebrate this every year forever. Why? To encourage us. Amen? It's kind of easy to forget where we came from. Amen? You're like, oh man, we take things for granted. I know my dad, back when he got back from the war, he was farming. He farmed with a horse and pulled instruments. Anybody here farm horses? Amen. And then later on, probably early 60s, they had this thing called a John Deere MT. And woo-wee! It had a single bottom plow. And a lot of the instruments that they plowed with for the horses used on a John Deere. And they're out there plowing. And later on, the next generation comes along and, oh, they're complaining because they got one plow behind them. So they get two plows and five plows. And then you get a great big John Deere, and like Chuck's got here, and he does 20 plows at one time, you know. Yeah. But see, and the time goes on, Chuck could be plowing and think, man, take me all day. I got a 12-bottom plow. It takes me all day to do this. Or Chuck could say, man, I can remember my dad plowing a single-bottom plow. I get done 10 times quicker than he does. It's remembering where we come from. Be encouraged, you know. Your tractor breaks down and you got to fix it. You know, we all have the issue once in a while. Well, thank God it's not a horse. Because a horse, you shoot it. You're done. Don't get mad at me. I'm just saying he breaks his leg. I mean, okay? So we got to go back and remember where we came from to appreciate what we have today. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to step back into time a little bit, into Exodus, and a little bit in Genesis, and do what God said. He wants to remind us where we came from, to be encouraged. To be encouraged. We'll see a lot of things, that I think, in the Scripture that took place back then. Light switch. That's going on right now. I mean, and so I'm going to paraphrase a lot of it, but Genesis chapter 37, I'll be plowing a lot in, and 41, and then we'll be in Exodus. And if you got questions, see me after the service. I'll give you more of the Scripture. You can break it down. A lot of us are going to be familiar with it. Because every year we speak about this. And some years we even take the time and have a Seder meal, a Passover meal. We have the lamb and share it. But it starts off in Genesis 37, a guy named Joseph. I'll give you some background here. He had a lot of brothers. Got a daddy. And daddy really loved Joseph. And he made him a coat of many colors. You all remember that? Remember a beautiful coat. And Joseph had a dream one time. He had a dream that God gave him, and he shared it with his brothers. And he told them about how, in this dream, that he saw his brothers bowing down and serving him. Wow, that made the brothers really happy. That they're going to be servants to the brother. You know what I'm saying? They got mad at him. They hated him. Here you got this awesome coat. Daddy loves him more than anybody. Treats him so well. And now he's having a dream that these brothers of his are bowing down and serving him. Well, they didn't like the idea at all. They hated him for it. So one day they had the opportunity. They took Joseph and they sold him into slavery. In fact, what they did, they took his coat of many collars, tore it up, put blood on it. Took it back and showed it to his dad that, hey, listen, we think of a wild animal destroyed Joseph. He's gone. Broke dad's heart. And they sold him into slavery. That's really having a brotherly love, isn't it? How many of you would be upset if it happened to you? Can you imagine that? I mean, one way Joseph could be happy, listen, guys, I don't know what this dream's going on, but in this dream I saw where you're serving me, that you're doing this and that. It could be, oh, wow, you must really be important. Will we be serving your house? And be excited about it. Oh, man, thank you. But right away, they took offense to it. Well, we're going to be serving you. I mean, I'd rather be serving my brothers in a mansion than living in a pup tent. You know? Amen. So he got sold into slavery to the Mennonites. Not Mennonites, they're not Amish. Mennonites. Thank you. And then later on, he got sold in the Potiphar, the Pharaoh's house, serving him. And he goes to prison. I mean, Joseph now is sold into slavery. He's in prison. The Pharaoh's wife, if you all remember, really had a crush on Joseph. Joseph was really good looking. He probably looked like me. You know, he just, wow, he just turning heads and stuff. She wanted him so bad, but he was faithful to God. He loved God. And she wanted to have an affair with him. And he said, no, 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 no. And as he was trying to get away from her, she grabbed his coat, cloak, and when he took off, she pulled it off of him and had it laying there in the house. And then here come the Pharisees. Oh, what's going on? Oh, Joseph, he come in and try to have his way with me. Accused him of all type of crime. And he went to prison. So he got sold into slavery. His brother hates him. Dad thinks he's dead. Now the Pharaoh's wife lied about him. He's done time in prison. If that's not enough to get your heart hard, I don't know what would be. But he loves God. He's in prison now. You know, I'm paraphrasing. This is a lot longer, but I figured I'd just bring it together like this. Well, as time went on, Pharaoh had this dream. And we talk about this dream quite often. He had a dream talking about 7 fat cows and 7 skinny cows. And his people could not interpret the dream. He said, nah, I don't know what's going on. Tell me what it means. Tell me what it means. I'll put you to death. Boom. You're gone. Then they remembered that, man, this is Joseph. This dude in prison, man. He can interpret dreams. So he brought Joseph to him. He said, what does this mean? Can you interpret my dream? He said, no, I cannot interpret your dreams. But the God I serve can. Think of that. I mean, that's awesome. That's showing being humble. All this time in prison, I think he's in prison 17 years, I don't remember exactly. But he stayed humble. I mean, here he is, had the opportunity to say, yeah, I can interpret the dream. But first of all, I want a new chariot. I want a place at your table. I want this, I want that. No. He said, man, this God that I serve, I'll pray he can. Give him the glory. Oh, folks, if we just learn to humble ourselves and not grab the glory of what we do so much and give it all to God. You know, and we're learning. A lot of you are, you know. Hey, thank you for the meal. Don't thank me. Thank God. He provides it. We just burn it and serve it. Yeah. But yeah, just learn to give him the glory for it. So he goes back, prays about it, and he gives him the interpretation of the dream. Goes back to Pharaoh and says, well, I'll tell you what, these 7 fat cows, 7 years of abundance we're going to have. Oh, wow, that's awesome. Yeah, but hang on. After the 7 years of abundance, there's going to be 7 lean years. Wow. So, the thought process could be, hey, 7 awesome years. Hey, we're going to party. We're going to eat. We're going to pig out, you know. And only think about ourselves. Hey, chances are in 7 years they ain't going to be here anyway. You know what I'm saying? Us eat some prime rib. Yeah, yeah. Thinking about ourselves. And then that took place. After the 7 years of fat cows are gone, or the abundance, now we got 7 years of drought. But we don't care, because we're not here anymore. Let them ones come in, young whippersnappers come behind us. They can worry about this stuff. Yeah. Yeah, but no. Look what happened. Hey, listen. We got 7 years of prosperity, and then we got 7 years of famine. God gave this to us to prepare us. So what did they start doing? Preparing for the 7 lean years. Oh, what an awesome thing that was. To think about that. And now we're kind of like in the same situation now, maybe. You look at the scriptures. We know time's getting tough. We know inflation's there, right? We see the droughts, we see the famine, we see the earthquakes, we see all this stuff that the Master told us, these are the signs of my return, but I want you to carry on until I come. You know, continue in the ministry. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, how can I do this and this? And be prepared. You know, spiritually. Boy, like last week. Hey, how many people doubled up their reading this week in the Bible? Prayer time. All right. That's awesome. You know, being prepared. How many forgot? Well, I thought there would be one honest person here to raise their hands up. Yeah, Marty! Yay! Woo! It's easy to get busy. Amen? Amen. But honesty goes a long ways. Amen. But prepare. That's where we are. Spiritually we are. We're ready for whatever coming our way. Because God's with us. Because you know who He is? I am that I am. Wow. So anyway, going back to the event here of Joseph. The famine hits Egypt. Oh my. His brothers, remember his brothers who sold him into slavery? Remember dad who thinks he's dead? Anyway, by this time, Joseph is second in command of Egypt. He's in charge of everything. I mean, this is how much they're being blessed because this man of God. While Pharaoh recognized, he's still in slavery, but he has all this authority. Wow. Buys and sells. This is what you want with Pharaoh. Well, here comes his brothers coming to Egypt. He's coming because there's no food. They're going to starve to death. Let's go and see if maybe we can buy something. Well, they come in, and there's Joseph. They do not recognize Joseph because it's been many years. It's kind of like going back to class reunion after 40 years. You don't recognize nobody, do you? Well, that's what we got going on. But he recognized them. So he talks to him a little bit. Asks about his youngest brother, Benjamin. Is your father still alive? Okay. The long story short here, ended up bringing his family over, forgave them of what they did to him, and fed him throughout the famine. Think of that. Forgave him. And he said, listen, and this is an awesome thing, man. What you meant for evil, my God has used it for good. Wow. I mean, what a statement that would be. I mean, they would think that our brother, it's Joseph, he's going to kill us. Don't eat that food. No, he's going to wipe us out. Because they expected him to respond to them like he would. Because they sold him, got rid of him, I was jealous. But because of God, the great I Am, involved in Joseph's life, it wasn't about Joseph anymore, it was about God. And his people, man, they were not wiped out. Israel, Jacob was Israel, that's his father. God had a plan to survive them. But in order for them to survive, Joseph had to be obedient. Wow. Now, how many of us got generations coming behind us right now? You want them to survive. I'm talking about surviving, coming to know Jesus. Coming to the Lord, be born again before He comes. Anybody here got that going on? Yeah, amen, amen, amen. The same thing will happen to us. We be obedient. Obedient to God. Oh, and sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes you want to pull your hair out. Sometimes you want to pull your hair out, right? But God has His plan. If we will continue to humble ourselves, put God first, let Him work in us and through us, the lives can be changed. You know, we got to get tougher skin. We got to be less offensive. Recognize, hey, it's not really them, it's the Spirit behind them. You know? The Bible says that without Jesus in our life, our Father is truly the devil, which can be offensive. You tell someone not born again, hey, listen, your father is the devil. My, who do you think you are? You just now proved it. You know? We've all been there one time. But again, it's getting to the fact that it's no longer our life that matters. It's the life of others and Christ living through us for this next generation. And that's what Joseph's done. He yielded himself to God fully. And the Israelites survived to a great nation. And now here we are through Jesus, the Messiah. We're grafted in. So he helped keep us going, saving us. So, as time went on, Joseph's father died. And then Joseph died. And those in Egypt, the Pharaoh, the one that had Joseph sitting there like, man, you're next in line. He died. Then people forgot what God did for him. I think people quit talking about him. You know? Hey, remember the old days? Oh, I'm telling you what, this famine's coming along and we had enough rice in our refrigerator. We made it through because God told Rick, get it ready. You give him the glory. Oh. Or, what's that? Refrigerator modernized a little bit, you know. Okay. It's either rice or Roman noodles, one of the two. I'm not sure of it. But we look at it, and we're at the same place today. What has God done in your life? How has Jesus transformed your life? How can that transformation be shared with others? And also encourage you. How many people are perfect in here today? I know we're righteous of Christ, but we're not perfect. How many people are different today than you were before you met Jesus? Yeah, we all say, yeah. Whew, he ain't done with me yet. Why? Because that word is alive and sharper than a two-edged sword. Amen? He's still working me. I heard a thing the other day saying that, hang on to Jesus. Keep your hand, hang on to Jesus. Amen? And somebody said, no. Let Jesus hang on to you. But he won't let go, and we can let go. That's something to think about this afternoon when drinking tea outside in the sunshine. But here, Joseph, because of obedience, boom, saved Israel. But now here we are. He's gone. People quit talking. The Pharaohs did. The Israelites were multiplying like crazy. Okay? Giving God the glory. Then jealousy stepped in. Oh, the Pharaohs, oh man, these guys are breeding too much. They might raise up and take us over. So here comes the taskmaster. And you know the story. They started working harder, making work harder, and beating them, and not using straws to make their bricks with and stuff. And they get to the point crying out, God, help us! Tired of this! Man! You know, maybe somebody started reading something like Carol has. Maybe they have them, what do you call them, things? Help me out. Tablets close. No. They didn't have Kindles back then. Huh? They did close devotion. You write things down every day. Diary! Journal! Yes. Oh, I didn't hear it. Well, I still can't hear it very well, huh? Yeah. But anyway, someone along the line found the journal and started reading. Man, oh, I forgot about this. 200 years ago. Wow. Look what God done. Man, he saved us. Well, God can do it again. God help us. Help deliver us. They're crying out. And the scripture says that God heard. He heard the cries of his people. Of course, we know when God works, he works through mankind, right? Because he gave us dominion. Amen? So we got Moses. I'm going to give his background because it took me another 4 hours. But the thing of it is, Moses was called by God to answer the prayers of his people crying out. He showed himself to Moses at the burning bush. Wow. I've heard the cries of my people, God said. I'll use you, Moses, to deliver them. And he said, now you and tell the Pharaoh to set my people free. And that's when he says, but who did I tell them who sent me? And he says, so simple, but so powerful. I am that I am. He created everything. There's not one thing ever existed that God didn't create. But that wasn't enough for the Pharaoh, was it? He wanted to challenge you. He kind of reminded us today, maybe, guys. The Word of God. If I have a Bible here anywhere, yeah, here we go. You know, we could be the same way. Here it is, God's Word. Shows you the blessings. Woo! Show you what takes place when we disobey. Amen? And we look at it. It's like, who said this? Who said, thou shalt not steal? Thou shalt not lie? Thou shalt not covet? Who said? And the answer is still the same. I am that I am. Wow. He hasn't changed. But do we act like Pharaoh sometimes? Do we get the point? Do you? Well, get down the altar. I gotcha. But do we? Do we have the same arrogance? Like, hey, I know God said not to do this. Or this was going to happen. He gives us a warning up front. But we don't yield ourselves to the Word of God. So we find it. We see with the 10 plagues that God deals with our enemies. Amen? Think of that. And I think it would cheer with us in our mind that we don't want to be an enemy of God. I don't want to. And sometimes as time goes on, we get to the point like we kind of forget what God can do. You know, sometimes we think, hey, he's a good old guy upstairs. Hey, that man upstairs, boy, he's pretty decent. You know, I really don't like that conversation. He's not a man upstairs. He's God. He's Yahweh. He is that I am. Oh, my. But we can look past that because we have so many things in our lives that can keep us busy anymore. You know, it seems like the more you have, the more you worry about losing. You know that? I mean, if you have a house full of antiques, I'm not saying anything about you. If you have a, I figure she's looking at me like, okay, start to say that. I collected you. So then, never mind, I shouldn't say that either. But anyway, if you have a whole house full of antiques, you'd be leery about leaving, going to family reunion 4 states away. Why? Because somebody might break in and steal them. So you get more war, you get more frustration. But your house has nothing. I mean, in fact, if somebody break in your house, they might go out and bring you stuff in. You got more peace. You have less to lose, don't you? Less problems. I really believe that part. Well, we find ourselves with Moses going down to Pharaoh, claiming time and time again, God says, let my people go. And what happened the first time? The first time he spoke to him, he said, we know what the Pharaoh did? The slaves who've been crying out, God's people have been crying out, help me, help me, help me. He said, I ain't going to let you go. In fact, we ain't going to give you straw anymore to make them bricks with. You find your own straw. Boy, that made everybody happy, didn't it? Yeah. Well, it made them happy. Yes, we get to work harder and harder and harder. Thank you, Moses. Thank you. Thank you, God. No. They were expecting something to be given to them. God, deliver us. Okay. Everybody's dead. Go free. No. Why? Why would you do that? How long would it be before they go right back into their old ways? You know, something is given to you. Sometimes you don't have to appreciate it as much as something you got to work for. Amen? Something you earn. But boy, they got mad at Moses. Upset. All he's trying to do is set him free. Sorry. No, you're okay. How about flip over? Yeah. We can catch ourselves getting in the same way. You know, God gives us strength, power, deliverance. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ is the living Word of God. But sometimes we don't recognize that. We have to engage ourselves. We have to stand on that Word and that we want it. It's going to be a fight. If you're here today, say, God can set you free. You're addicted to alcohol, drugs, porn, shopping, eating, whatever it is you're addicted to, God can set you free. But we got to want it, right? There'll be some tough times. Withdrawal. Ever try to quit drinking coffee? This was awesome. You get headaches, we call it caffeine, right? Maybe the second or third day into it, no caffeine. Oh, the headaches are terrible. Oh, give me a cup of coffee. Right? But if you really want, God will give you strength. One more day. Set you free from that. We have to engage ourselves the Word of God to help us fight this battle. The angels are ministering angels that come around us. Amen? They don't control our life. They're there to help us for the Word of God. So we find them again, a second day. I mean, we had oh boy, I really prefer his liar. The first plague you had, we turned the water into blood. You think that'd be enough, wouldn't it? If someone showed up here and said, Starkey, listen, you let these people go, you ain't preaching past noon today. Otherwise, we won't turn the water back here into blood. And I turned the water on the blood. Oh, get out of here, guys, get out of here. But no, Pharaoh was so arrogant. No one was going to tell him what to do. The scripture says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, God did not purposely harden his heart. God spoke his word, and the jealousy and the hatred that he had for God hardened his heart. It'd be like, I don't want to pick anybody, you might take it serious. I'll pick on myself, okay? My doctor. We'll pick on my doctor for a second, okay? Hey, doc, how you doing? Okay, what do you need, Starkey? I came for a checkup. And he starts checking me out. Well, Starkey, you're only about 2 pounds from being a beast. You need to lose weight. Oh, okay. And you need to exercise. Your heart muscles kind of weak because you sit around too much. You got to get off the couch. And, you know, as we go on, I'm not going to be a fan of my doctor, am I? I'm going to find somebody else. I'm going to go on there and say, I need a doctor that's going to listen to me and let me do what I want to do. He can start hardening my heart. He's telling me the truth, but I don't want to hear it, okay? So it wasn't, he purposely hardened my heart, but I allowed it to because of the condition. I didn't want to know the truth. I just want to feel better. That's what happened to Pharaoh. We find that the second plague, he sent frogs. Man, that'd be enough. Huh? Of course, frog legs. Then we had the third day, plague was gnats that came. Fourth day was the flies. I mean, all these, let my people go. And when God was doing these plagues upon Pharaoh, you got to realize at the same time, he was showing his people how powerful he was. All the plagues that he did never touched his people. They were protected. Why? They're crying out to him. God, help us. Okay, I'm going to help you. I got to do it my way. So when you talk about your God today, when you think about Yahweh, or the great I Am, this is the same God that delivered. Now, we see it took time to get deliverance. But boy, you think they appreciate it more, right? When you get delivered over time and see the hand of God. Your God turned water into blood to set you free. The fifth plague was the livestock. They died. Hey, set my people free or your livestock is going to die. And they did. I mean, the fifth time, I'd be taking Moses' voice pretty serious by now. You know what I'm saying? What he's saying is coming to pass. And the sixth plague was boils. Oh, my. Seventh plague, they had hail. I mean, destroying hail. It's just, But his people wasn't touched. You and I. You're God. He says, and the eighth plague was locusts. Then the ninth plague was darkness. But then we come to the tenth plague. In Exodus 11:1. He said, now the Lord said to Moses, one more plague I will bring on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out from here completely. Okay, one more, he says. How close have you been to overcoming something? You've been praying, interceding for yourself or somebody else, and you're down to one more day, and you give up. Yeah. Yeah. See, God's word doesn't come back void. It just doesn't know when it's going to operate for your benefit. Many of us, a song, I forget who sang it, Garth Brooks or somebody, about unanswered prayers. How true that is. You know, we had the wrong motive for praying. You know, oh, I just won that lottery. Woo, give me $50 million. And then, you know, God sees the future. They see all your kids and great-grandkids and stuff strung out in drugs and divorce and killing one another because money gained like that can destroy you. Amen? Hmm. Now, he says, now speak now in the hearing of the people, that each man acts from his neighbor and each woman from her neighbor for articles of silver and articles of gold. The Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Furthermore, the man Moses himself was greatly esteemed in the land of Egypt, both in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. It's amazing. Even the ones who served Pharaoh, they weren't stupid. They're seeing the hand of God move in these plagues. Amen. They're like, hey, come on, Pharaoh. I can imagine. Why don't you just give in? But they won't say nothing because they don't want to be put to death. So even when God blesses you, your enemies can recognize what God is doing in your life, and you're still making a testament to them that what God has done. In verse 4, thus says the Lord, Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I'm going out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of the Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the millstone, all the firstborn of the cattle as well. Now, I think right now, when God just told Moses this, I think we take him pretty serious, don't we? I mean, when we say, what kind of God is this? What kind of God would do this? This is a God who's standing up for his people. This is a God who's warned and warned and warned and warned the enemy on what to do. This is a God that even the enemy's people heard the truth. They could have left. They could have stood up. They could have come over. They choose not to. See, there's a responsibility for each one of us who we allow to have power in our life. Amen? You know, you got to do what you can do to break free from this power that's controlling you, that's trying to destroy you. You got to want bad enough that you stand up for it, and also for the next generation. You know, it's not only about me. It's not only that, hey, Rick can cut my taxes by 30%, Daryl can cut them by 10%, and Lynn's going to raise them by 80%, okay? It's what's best for the next generation coming behind me. Amen? And standing up for that. And this is what Moses has been doing. I mean, he was a shepherd now. Before God called him, he had a maid, had a wife, a bunch of kids. Kids, you know. But man, he heard the call and his heart was to serve God. In verse 6, he said, now, moreover, there shall be a great cry in all the land of Egypt, such as there has not been before and such as shall never be again. But against any of the sons of Israel, a dog will not even bark, whether against man or beast, that you may understand how the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. Or how God makes a distinction between his people and their enemies. Think of that. Mm-mm. All these your servants will come down to me and bow themselves before me, saying, go out, you and all the people who follow you. And after that, I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not listen to you, so that my wonders will be multiplied in the land of Egypt. Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh, yet the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the sons of Israel go out of his land. Verse 12, chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves, according to their father's household, a lamb for each household. Now, if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them. According to what each man should eat, you are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be unblemished, a male year old, and you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Now, again, this is God putting a plan in the last step to set his people free. How bad do they want to be set free? You think, for a second, this goes in my head. I think different, probably. We're going to take this lamb without blemish into our house for 4 days. For 4 days. Can you imagine a little lamb in your house? How cute they are. Boing, bouncing up and down. Oh, my lands. Sitting on your lap. Oh, soft and fuzzy. Then on the fourth day, you're going to slit his throat. Ah! How terrible is that? I ain't going to do it. I'm telling you what. We're going to use a possum. Possums are ugly. I mean, I don't know if they did that or not. If anybody argued or not with Moses, I have no idea. But ourselves, we have to look at ourselves. How many times has God told us what to do or not to do? And we go, I'm not going to do that. I don't care what he says. I ain't going to do that. And it costs us something. But more importantly, it's not just cost us. It can cost the next generation. Can you imagine a household that would have been there and said, no, we're not going to use the lamb. They're too cute. And they actually use a possum. And they use the blood of the possum, put on their doorpost. They're going to be wiped out. And somebody's going to blame God for it. Yeah, amen? How many of us today, we blame God for stuff that we do against him? We can do that, can't we? A lot of times we blame God for things because we know we did wrong, but we don't blame God. That way everybody think we're better. You know, we're not as, I don't mean better, but it wasn't our fault. You know? Going back to doctor report, hey, start to lose weight. You know, heavy on your heart. I've lost weight, praise God. But myself, if I refuse to do that, have a heart attack, that doctor of mine told me he's a pretty good doctor, Rick. But look at me. Had a heart attack. What kind of doctor is he? Well, Starkey, you got to get a different doctor. Yep. Amen? And not, hey, well, Starkey, did you do what the doctor told you to do? So, our lives right now. What's going on? Oh, are you doing what God told you to do? Are you applying his word to your life? No. That's a problem. You've got to submit to him. We got to trust God so much with our lives that whatever he says, y'all going to do it. Why? Because it's not about us anymore, just ourselves. It's about the next generation. Oh, All right, get back here. Yeah, we just now killed the lamb. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. So you take this blood and smear it on your doorpost. But I'm not going to do it because I just painted my doorpost. You know, I bought this Ace Hardware, had this fantastic paint on sale. So you know, I'm just going to I'm just going to get a piece of wood and lean against the door and put blood on it. Hey, I won't know the difference. Is that what God said to do? He said, no, it wasn't. Right, amen, amen. Putting the blood on the door. See, the door is where you go in and out. Amen. Endure the home where you find shelter, you find peace, you find strength. He said, I'm going to cover that, okay? I'm going to keep the death angel from coming into your house, but it takes the blood on the lintel and the doorpost in order to be a signal to the angel not to come in and destroy the firstborn. Wow. It's not given to us. is real to him or not. Then he says this. Oh my, he says, now, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and lintels on the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. And I have a lamb, and we have lamb every once in a while, but we have a special, thank God we have Jesus as our Passover lamb now, because we put seasoning on ours. But this is what, for them, roasted with fire and with bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire, both his head and his legs along with his entrails. And you shall not leave any of it over until morning, but whatever is left of until morning you shall burn with fire. Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. It's the Lord that's passing over us, the death angel, to destroy us. Why? Because we, his people, have cried out to him for help. He said, I'm going to deliver you, but you got to do it this way. Well, why did God have to do that? Why didn't he have a hog roast? Why didn't we have catered meal come in? Why? Hey, I am that I am. That's all I can tell you. Because that lamb represents the lamb of Jesus Christ, or the lamb of God. He was spotless. The lamb was spotless that they killed that night. The lamb was in their house 4 days being observed, getting close to him. Jesus was in Jerusalem 4 days. Being observed by everybody. They couldn't find anything wrong with him to crucify him. So they had to lie about him, right? It's shown that, okay? Jesus poured his blood out for us to deliver us. And that's what he's telling us here. He says, for I will go through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. Wow. Permanent ordinance. That's us. Today, right now, remembering what God has done. In this Passover. That's what Jesus did. We call it the Last Supper. They were celebrating the Passover. Remembering it. You know, we've read a couple articles outside of the Scripture itself talking about this, the Passover and stuff. And it showed that even Moses' mother was brought into the house. Yeah, Pharaoh's daughter. The night that is taking place, she actually went in Moses' house and was saved from the death angel. Think of that. It's amazing. By following God's word and yielding to it, not trying to add to or take away from it. Just this is what he said to do. I mean, I don't know, but in Moses' house that night, how many people were complaining? I mean, we all complain, right? But man, how many people we got in? We got our neighbors here now. Oh, man. Hey, he's sitting in my chair. I always sit here. No, kids, you're not going outside and play in the street. Yeah, you sit down there. I mean, how many want to be disobedient? How many didn't quite understand yet? How many thought, what, we're going to burn this? We're going to cook it with fire? We can't use any bacon grease for it? You know what it's going to taste like? All that bitter herbs and stuff? What? Could have been gone on that night in those houses that you actually had a fight. They didn't stay in here. You're going to go out there. I can tell you, it's going to be death. You don't want to go out there. Well, I'm going out there. Nope. You're my inheritance. You're my children. You're not going out. Now you, Uncle Tom, you want to go? That's up to you. I ain't going to fight with you. That's up to you. But I'm telling you what. I know what's best for my household. And I'm going to stand that door. And I'm going to let none of them come out. Because I know my God. I just saw the plague take place. I saw how he stood up for us. I heard how he answered our cries for help and deliverance. And he said, I want you to do this. He had a plan and purpose. And we look at it, guys. Thousands of years later, it was to show us the sacrifice that Jesus had to deliver us from the death angel, which is called sin, eternity in hell. If we just be obedient, apply the blood of Christ to our life, stay under it by staying under His word and following Him and not stepping out. You know, I look at that and I think, what would happen? They're hearing the scream outside and you know, Moses sitting back at the table, maybe he's talking about whatever. The door's open. I open the door up. Ain't gonna hurt nothing. And you step outside. Gone. I had the same warning as everybody else. I'm just curious. What made me forget so quickly? And that's why God said, I want you to do this. Year after year after year, you remind yourselves what I've done for you to deliver you. It cost me everything through my Son, Jesus Christ. But submit to Him completely. Follow Him. Throw away all the stuff you've been playing around with. All the sin that you're thinking back in your mind. The midnight cry that you have. Like, oh, I want to do this. I want to do that. It's total commitment to Him. And He will deliver you. But you got to want it. You got to give it all up to Him. We cannot be playing games with Him. We can't be thinking about, oh, well, listen, times are different. Yeah, that's what it was 4,000 years ago. We can't take the new laws of this land here and pervert your mind. And thinking and following the devil and thinking you're going to go to heaven. Folks, it's a lot more about going to heaven. It's about being with Christ totally, day after day. But you got to stand up. Let Him deliver you from it. Turn your back to the world. And He will rescue you. But if you don't want it bad enough, hell is where we're going to end up at. But you got to want it. You got to want to announce your defiance to the devil and say, God, deliver me. Come in my life. And He will come and give you strength. As you draw closer to Him, He'll draw closer to you. But you gotta want it. And folks, here we are today. For those of us who are born again, man, we've got it. But it has to be inside of us like Moses. That we are willing to share and stand up. I can't force Rick to do what I want you to do. I can just tell you what God says. I'm just a messenger. Just a messenger. I tell you the truth. You decide how you want to apply it. You're going to apply it God's way, your way. Your way ain't going to be a good way. But He doesn't want anybody to perish. Think of that. Death angel came. It did exactly what it said it would do. Pharaoh lost his son. He was warned. He could have released him. It cost him. And the next day, like God said, Egypt, they gave them gold and silver. Oh, man, they ate the food like they're supposed to, and they laughed. Well, that means they left millionaires, okay? Headed out. And the scripture says not one of them was feeble. Because they consumed the lamb like God said to. And folks, the same way with us today. And we follow the Lord and we consume Him. And when we break bread, we eat that bread that represents the Lamb of God. As we not just eat the bread, as we consume it, as we recognize, yes, this is my Lord. This is what He's done for me. He delivered me. It brings us strength. It gives us energy for another day to serve Him. You know, and we know the rest of the story. It wasn't 3 days later they got the Red Sea blocking them. They said, oh man, we should have stayed in Egypt. We should have. I mean, how quick? Open the Red Sea up. They go across the Red Sea. Now we're out there in the wilderness. Within a few days, they're tired of eating manna already. They're complaining. An 11-day trip turned into 40 years. 40 years. None of them. Yeah, Joshua and Caleb made it into the Promised Land. But the other one died short of the goal that God had for them. And, you know, we should learn from that. That we want everything that God wants for us, for ourselves, and also for His glory for others. And that's by submitting to Him. You know? And so, I always here to encourage you to draw closer, follow Him, yield yourself. you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, Lord, if you haven't applied the blood of Christ to you, I really want to have you consider it. We need to talk. Because, man, very soon, He's coming for His church. He's coming for those who are following Him. And boy, then we're going to step into the tribulation that God wants His children not to go through. You find yourself sitting here and you're backslidden, hey, repent and go forward. That blood of Jesus is very powerful. You don't have to get born again. You just got to start walking the right way again. There's only one way, and that's Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for the words given to us from what we call the Holy Bible, Father. For all the things that's taken place that you've done for us, that they're documented here to encourage us, to show us the way, and to help us, God. And Lord, may we never forget where we came from. May we never forget how you rescued us, how you saved our lives, how you give us a plan and a purpose, Lord. And you have a love, Father, that's deeper than anything. That you never turn your back on us, no matter how far we might go, your love is still there, and you're always there to welcome us back, God. So, Lord, with that attitude, may we both, all of us here, be the same way. Those who fall away, welcome when they come back, God, to encourage one another. Lord, that more and more folks would be ready for your coming. And Lord, we want to pray for our children continually, and our children's children's children, Lord. We thank you for the generations coming behind us. Lord, that they have a country here that they can hear about Jesus and be guided by the Lord and surrender their lives to you, Lord. We pray for our nation, God. Ask you to forgive us of our sins, Lord. We turn our back on you, Lord. And your word says if we repent and turn to you, humble ourselves, that you will heal our land, Father. So we thank you for that process. We pray, Father, for those who are raising up to step into government, Lord, that have a love for you, that they be protected, that their enemies be exposed, that their lies be exposed, and that Americans will make a good choice by selecting your ways to govern us, Lord. And for those in power today, Father, that are detrimental, try and destroy this country that you established, that's going against your word, Father, we pray that they will be removed from power, Lord, that justice be served, but even through all that, God, that their eyes be open to see the truth, and that truth will set them free, because your heart desire is that no one would perish, but come the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the food brought ready to eat. We do pray again for the farmers, Lord, to watch over them. May the floodwaters go down for them to get their crops in, Lord, and give them a great harvest. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.